My fingers sink into her warm center from behind, finding her even wetter than when she came against my mouth. I can't hold back any longer. Leaning her back against the tile, with one hand on her curvy ass and one hand on my length, I prod against her opening. It takes a second to work my way in, the torturously erotic strain of it all making me throb harder. Her eyes flutter closed, and her mouth parts in a moan that tells me this feels as good for her as it does for me. Seeing her like this, thighs parted on mine, breasts heaving, nipples tight, it almost does me in. "Tori, baby," I groan into her hair, blissed out of my mind to be with her like this. "You're so beautiful. You feel so fucking good." It's been a long time since I've been with anyone. My whole body sizzles in expectation of delving deeper. Her legs tighten around me, but then she hooks her feet against my thighs so she can lift herself just an inch before she settles down again, and I have to watch every mesmerizing second. Watch where we connect. Watch how she swallows me up, how she squirms and moans and shivers in my arms as she sinks lower. I grab her ass with both hands to help her. Then we're kissing, and she's yanking on my hair, and I'm so goddamn deep I bottom out with a grunt. And though my balls are tight and I'm really fucking close to coming, a gentleman always puts a lady first. With her thighs plastered to mine and her wetness coating my cock, I snake a hand between us to rub that sweet nub until she's bucking and crying out. Until she's pulsing on me and grinding down so hard, I explode too, emptying into her with such force, I have to wrap my arms around her and lean against the wall so we don't collapse onto the ground. Has it ever been that good before? We shudder on each other, aftershocks working their way through our connected bodies, like fault lines after an earthquake. The ground shifts, the scenery rearranges, but the pieces fit back together. In this case, the aftermath is better because Tori is in my arms, blinking up at me with heat and sweetness in her eyes. Maybe she's what I've needed all along. I dry her off and wrap her in a huge towel, while those drowsy hazel eyes stare up at me. This, her, me, us, this feels right, and I'm smiling like a fool when I toss on a pair of boxers to check on the kids, who are still asleep. Breathing a sigh of relief that my kids are conked out, I turn in the hall and nearly bump into Tori, who's now wrapped in her thin pink robe. I take my time admiring her long, lean legs and the way the robe drapes over her hips and breasts, ignoring the twitch in my groin. "Where are you going?" I whisper, because it looks like she's headed to her room. Her soft voice is so low I have to strain to hear her.
"Thought you'd want to get to bed. Want your space. I know you have to get up early."
I almost laugh. With my lips grazing her ear, I ask, "Is that really what you want? To sleep in your room? If it is, that's fine, but I'd rather have you in my bed." She smiles against my shoulder.
"Yeah?"
I pull back just far enough to look her in the eye. "Sweetness, you're mine now, right?" That smile tugs up further.
"Yes."
"And what happened back there?" I hook my thumb over my shoulder. "That wasn't a late night booty call. That was us taking the next step, which means I definitely want you in my bed. Every damn night."
Chapter 6. Chapter 33. Tori. Goosebumps line my skin, even though I'm not cold. How can I be cold? Ethan's naked body is wrapped around me, arms slung over my hips, face nuzzled against my breasts. I stare down at his huge form nestled around me and grin. He called me his woman. Yeah, I'm still thinking about that hours later in the dark. A wave of euphoria washes over me as I let myself relish being with him like this. In my head, I'm ticking off all the boxes. He's self-employed and smart and ridiculously handsome. He adores his kids and treats his mama well. He likes my cooking and makes me laugh. Not to mention, he's a rock star when it comes to sex. Who comes twice the first time they sleep with a man? No one I know. Most of my friends fake it, go home, and ride the vibe alone. That silly saying comes to mind. Save a horse, ride a cowboy. I am so down with this. I'm blushing when I think of his obscenely large but magnificent package. And he wields it well, as the steady ache between my thighs indicates. Then he cuddled me, whispering sweet words and stroking my back until I passed out. Holy fucking boyfriend lottery. He didn't even make me feel like an idiot for freaking out over that spider. I should have been embarrassed, screaming and flailing around naked and looking like a fool. But he was so considerate and gentle, I want to cry about it now. Here I was, thinking my sister had found the husband of the century and I'd be shit out of luck. Yes, cognitively, I realized that luck is not preordained. It isn't meted out at birth like tickets to a carnival ride. 10 for you and none for you, you little loser. But if love makes you stronger, helps you feel optimistic and hopeful, pain is dysmorphic, magnifying your weaknesses and pointing out your faults. And last year was so gut-wrenching, so insistent on reminding me that I was a big fat dumbass who failed out of college and dated other big fat dumbasses. And I couldn't help but wonder if my sister had been born with all the lucky genes. It's probably the residual hormones from those orgasms making me high. I mean, hello, I had two. But I haven't felt this at peace with myself in a while. Sure, the feminist voice in the back of my head quirks an eyebrow and asks, "Girlfriend, did you really need a man to feel better about yourself?" But I don't view Ethan as my savior. He's more like the really handsome guy who gave me a ride out of my pity party. In this fantasy, though, we're riding a horse, and Ethan is shirtless and sweaty. It's my fantasy. Don't judge. I'm staring up at the dark ceiling, running my fingers through his thick hair, all the while ignoring how turned on I'm getting. It's hard not to, with his warm breath brushing over my nipple and that massive redwood jutting against my leg. The hot shower and sex relaxed me into a boneless state, but I jerked awake a few minutes ago, afraid Ethan had let me sleep in and the kids would find me in his bed. I watch the clock, all of a sudden anxious about what happens when it goes off. You can never tell what sex is going to do to a couple's dynamic. I'm laughing to myself, thinking about some of Viv's morning afters. Once, she woke up in a guy's bed, realized he never washed his sheets because they smelled like dirty feet, and she raced out of there, never to give him the time of day again. On an impulse, I turn my head and take a whiff of Ethan's pillow. Yum, clean man and dryer sheets. When the alarm goes off, I smile at the growly sound that rumbles through him. He leans over and smacks the clock into silence and then pulls me back to him, fitting my back to his chest. I haven't slept that well in years. His voice, thick with sleep, sends another wave of chills down my arms. You hardly slept. Maybe 4 hours?
I go for quality, not quantity.
I laugh and arch my back against the erection pressing against my ass. That's a shame. I was about to ask if you wanted a quickie before work, but I know you must be exhausted. He makes a thoughtful noise, as though we're debating global warming.
It's possible you might be able to persuade me as to the benefits of a quickie. I'm not that tired.
Smiling, I close my eyes when his big hand kneads my breast. You do have a stressful job, and morning quickies are like taking your vitamins.
Are you suggesting that since vitamins are daily, quickies should be too?
His hips flex against mine, slowly driving me crazy. We do want you to be healthy, right?
Yes, health first.
He's nibbling on my shoulder when I fit him between my thighs so his length runs flat against my core. I'm a big advocate of health. Big, huge advocate.
Christ, you're wet.
He groans appreciatively and nuzzles my neck. We slept naked with your face pressed to my tits and your morning wood's been saluting me for 20 minutes. So, yeah, I'm ready to go. He snickers, and I'm smiling, thinking this has to be the best morning after ever. A few minutes later, after reaching for a condom, he slides into me from behind and reaches down to rub my clit. I'm half ready to sing a hallelujah chorus from how good he makes me feel. I go off in an embarrassingly short amount of time. I'm throbbing around him when he grunts,
"Holy shit. Did you just come?"
That's why it's called a quickie. Though to be honest, I'm stunned it took all of 60 seconds to get to O-Town.
Goddamn, that's the hottest thing ever.
His hips buck faster, and I ignore my soreness and tighten my legs to make it extra snug for him.
Oh, fuck. What are you doing? That feels too good.
I toss my arm behind me and fist his hair, arching my back to send him deeper. That's the point. Want to make the taco a happy place for you.
Shit, don't make me laugh.
He's swelling and jerking inside me and laughing at the same time. We stay connected for a few minutes, catching our breath and snuggling close. A quiet contentedness fills me from head to toe. Then he whispers,
"You're the best time I've ever had."
I feel the exact same way.
Chapter 34. Ethan.
"Why are you smiling so much today?"
I shrug, like I haven't a clue what Logan's talking about, and try to focus on the bills in front of me.
"Nah. Don't give me that.
He rubs his chin like he has wisdom to spare and looks me over.
"Let's see. You didn't yell at me for being late or accidentally spilling coffee on your desk, and I caught you whistling this morning."
A smirk spreads on his face.
"If you ask me, you look like a man who finally got laid."
Good thing I didn't ask. That smirk widens.
"And you didn't deny it."
"What are we, in high school? You want to compare dick sizes now? We got shit to do. Stop being an ass and get to work." He snorts.
"We both know I'd win in the dick department."
"In your pee-head dreams, bro." Laughing, I shake my head and reach for a pen on my messy desk. A soft knock on the door makes me look up. Tori peeks in my office, and I have to force myself to not charge toward her and pin her to the wall for a kiss.
"Hey, honey, what's up?"
She gives me one of those smiles that sends prickles of heat all over my body.
"Just wondering if y'all wanted some dinner,"
I know you're waiting for that client, but I made some stew. I can bring it in here if you want.
God, this woman. Logan taps a pencil on the desk.
Actually, can you come in here a sec? I want to ask a favor.
Sighing, I sit back in my chair, wary of whatever harebrained idea my brother's concocted.
Sure.
She smiles hesitantly and sits in one of the chairs opposite my desk, next to my brother. He motions toward the kitchen.
Joey's still here, right?
She nods, and he darts out of the room for a second and then returns, settling back into the chair.
Joey's gonna watch the kids for a sec. Okay, so, you see this, miss?
He waves at the mountain of paperwork in front of me and the files behind me, stacked in precarious piles on the cabinet.
Think you can help us get organized in here?
What the fuck?
Logan, really? What did we just talk about the other day?
I specifically told him he's not allowed to ask her to do any more around here. He jabs a finger on a pile of bills.
I said I wouldn't give her more work on her current salary, and I'm not. I mean, not really. Hear me out.
Turning back to Tori, he breaks out one of his flirty smiles that makes me want to punch him in his pretty face.
I was thinking that Ethan and I are great with the horses, but shitty with organizing all of this, and we really need to get our act together before that court date this week. I've gathered our tax returns and supporting docs for our attorney, but we've been so overwhelmed with that and our clients, I'm afraid we're gonna miss paying one of our vendors or a tax bill or a vet. Who knows? We have a million things we're not on top of right now, and I generally leave all of this to Ethan, but he's working at max capacity right now.
Internally, I cringe because he's right. If I'm being honest, I could cut out the few hours of baseball Tori and I watch. Except, fuck, when will I ever get a break? Even after enjoying a few innings, I head back to the barn to get all the horses to bed if I haven't yet. Yes, even horses get tucked in too. Some require blinders. Others might need blankets if it's raining. All of them like a little soothing talk. A few scratches behind the ear, some TLC. She nods sympathetically.
Makes sense. You guys have your hands full. What would you need me to do?
Logan practically wags his tail. He's so pleased with himself. You worked at a law firm for a while in college, right?
You probably have some office experience we could use here.
Her face is blank, and she licks her lips.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't work there long, but I can organize your bills if that's all you need.
Cool. Your sister mentioned it when she first brought up you working here, and I thought maybe some of those office skills might be handy right about now.
Oh.
She seems to breathe a sigh of relief, but then furrows her brow and looks down at her hands. She swallows.
I should tell you that I got fired from that job.
Logan and I look at each other, and he lifts an eyebrow. Shit. I rub my forehead again. This is what happens when I let my brother run the background check. Half-assed as usual. Not that I'd change anything. Tori is amazing with the kids, and I'm pretty damn fond of her myself. She's done nothing to make me question her character. Even that one argument we had when we met isn't really her fault. I was being an asshole. I almost smile at the memory, her all feisty and pissed. I love her fiery side. It's different than Allison's rage, which is always mean and manipulative. No, unless Tori stabbed a co-worker with a letter opener, I don't care that they fired her. It's their loss. He clears his throat.
Mind if I ask why?
She gives me a sheepish smile.
I told off my boss.
I laugh. Did he deserve it?
Of course. I think in legal speak it's called sexual harassment, but everyone ignored his behavior. Boys will be boys and all that.
He harassed you? I don't disguise the anger in my voice. The thought of some fuckhead being disrespectful toward Tori makes me want to kick that loser's ass.
No, thank God. He was perving on his secretary who put up with his behavior. I called him out on it one day, and he had me fired for insubordination and a lack of professionalism.
Her eyes tilt down again, and pink tints her cheeks.
I was just a college student, and I couldn't afford the kind of expensive clothes they expected me to wear. He used that against me, said I didn't uphold their standards, and since I was a lowly paper pusher and he was a senior partner, no one cared what I had to say about any of it. But the real kick in the head is the secretary I stood up for denied anything shady happened because she was afraid of losing her job.
Oh, darling. I'm so sorry. Another shrug.
Anyway, I wanted to be honest about my level of experience. I'm probably better at mixing drinks than anything requiring a suit and heels, but I can try my best. When do you want me to get started?
I'm curious about this myself, since, aside from a few hours of baseball a week, we've been working around the clock lately. Logan gives her a big, charming smile that makes me roll my eyes.
I was wondering if I could pay you extra to stay this weekend and get a jump start.
I let out an unamused laugh. What do you plan on paying her with? Pizza and beer? Come on, Logan, get serious. She works enough, going above and beyond every day. Now you want her to give up the time she spends with her sister? That's not fair.
Chill, man.
He scowls like I've insulted him.
I have my own money, you know. I've been saving. Besides, Joey said she might be able to help us watch the kids this weekend, so it's the perfect time.
So you're planning to pay Joey, too? He scoffs.
No, she's helping because she loves me.
Duh. Swear to God, my brother is such a dipshit sometimes. He means well, but it's like he's operating on a half tank of gas. Tori tries to hide a smile.
How about this?
She replies gently.
I'll grab breakfast with Kat Saturday morning, but I'll be back by noon to organize your office, and I'll split whatever you wanted to pay me with Joey.
This girl is too cool. I give her a big, dumb smile because, yeah, she's awesome. She stares back at me with those beautiful eyes, and I swear my heart skips a beat. Logan clears his throat again.
You guys done eye-fucking?
I reach over and punch him in the arm. Have some respect. He chuckles and rubs his arm.
After this weekend, I figure we could get you some time occasionally to help manage the chaos in the office. Maybe when the kids nap? Not sure what we're gonna do at the end of the summer when you head back to Austin, but I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
His words toss a bucket of ice water on me, and I look up to find Tori with the same disconcerted expression that's probably on my face. Silence hangs in the air. Thick and uncomfortable. She shakes her head.
I guess I don't know what I'll be doing this fall.
Her eyes shift away.
Your mom will be back soon, and I'm guessing y'all won't need me around then.
I don't know what to say. I don't want her to go, that's for sure, but I have no idea what my mother's plans are when she returns. Or if it's financially feasible for me to keep Tori on staff once Mila's in school. If Tori heads back to Austin, will I ever see her again? Brady got her car running again, but it's a piece of crap, and I still can't get her to drive my truck.
If we do long distance, it's not fair to ask her to do all the mileage. I'm just not sure how I'd be able to get to Austin more than every other weekend when my kids are with their mom. The idea of going from seeing Tori daily to twice a month wrecks me. I shoot Logan a pained look. Couldn't he let me be happy and blissfully ignorant for one fucking day? Because I don't have the goddamn answers. For all I know, next Wednesday the judge is gonna make me sell this place to pay back my ex-wife. Although my attorney said that's highly unlikely, he couldn't rule it out entirely, especially since Allison's counsel already requested it. She swore up and down after the hearing that wasn't her idea, that she was surprised by how aggressive her attorney was being, but I was too shell-shocked to process her words. Since then, I've thought of little else. The only thing that's brought me any reprieve is Tori, and I might be losing her too at the end of the summer. My brother glances back and forth between us and laughs awkwardly. Sorry, didn't mean to open a whole can of worms here, especially since you guys are in this ooey-gooey phase that makes me want to hurl. Leaning on my desk, I groan and drop my face into my hands, needing to block out everything for 2 minutes. A steady pounding beats in my temples, but I don't have the energy to hunt down pain relievers. There's some shuffling of feet, and I'm guessing Logan just hightailed it out of here.
Hey.
I look up and find Tori standing next to me. She slides into my lap and presses her face into my neck. I pull her legs up over mine, wrap my arms around her, and stick my nose into her hair. How did she know I needed this?
We'll figure this out, okay?
Her soft words settle over me and soothe all the anxiety rifling through my nerves. She might be younger, but I swear she's an old soul.
I'm here as long as you need me.
Always. I'll always need you. I'm shocked at how fiercely that sentiment resonates in me, all the way down to my work boots. Have I ever felt this way about another woman? Never. Not even Allison. Part of me is shouting, "This is insane," to fall for this girl when I'm barely out of my marriage. While I can list a million reasons why Tori and I work as a couple, none of them negate the issues my brother brought up, or the fact that I can't afford to keep her on staff come this fall. Squeezing her tight, I decide I need to find a way to make this happen. She is too important to let go. I've lived with enough regrets in my life. Tori won't be one of them.
Chapter 35. Tori. Totally unfair. My sister is so pregnant she can barely dress herself, but she's never been more beautiful. I'd look like a constipated hippo if I were that pregnant. I sit on one end of the couch in her living room and pat my lap. Come on, kick up those hobbit feet so we can do this pedicure. Don't call them hobbit feet, brat. I snicker and help her shift her legs up one at a time. Just giving you a hard time. You're gorgeous, preggers. Since Ethan needed me to work this afternoon, I spent last night with my sister, forgoing my Friday night TV routine of baseball and ice cream with my sexy BB, boss and boyfriend, and I'm hoping to pamper Kat before I head back to the ranch in a bit. Izzy skips through the room with her dad trailing behind. She sees me break out the nail polish and she pouts. Tori, will you do my nails later? Pretty, pretty, please. She presses her hands together like a little beggar. I'm not going to be here when you get back, but maybe I can sneak over in a few days to do them. Jutting out her lower lip, she frowns. Ugh, how can I say no to that face? Brady shakes his head.
Don't give your aunt a guilt trip, kid. I'll do your nails later if you want.
Really? She grins up at him like he just bought her a pony, but then she quirks a saucy eyebrow like my sister. Can I do your nails too? He lets out a comical sigh.
Sure, but I get to pick the color this time. No pink.
He turns to us.
This child's obsessed with pink. Pretty sure she'd spray paint her room the color of Pepto-Bismol if we let her.
My brother-in-law is awesome. I love that he lets Izzy paint his nails. With his keys in hand, Brady leans over and kisses my sister, and she lets out a swoony sigh that would make Scarlett O'Hara proud. Oh, man. Do I look like her when Ethan's around? No wonder Logan makes gagging sounds. Ethan and I have kept everything under wraps around the kids since we thought Mila needed time to process the divorce. No need to push our relationship in her face or upset Allison while Ethan still has his finances all wrapped up in hers. Rocking that boat seems stupid, like kicking a hornet's nest. So when Ethan's alarm goes off at 3 or 4 in the morning, yes, he gets up at an insane hour, I sneak back to my bedroom. It's not a perfect situation, but at least I'm just trudging down the hall and not having to trek back to Austin. I've been thinking long and hard about the concerns Logan brought up the other day. Their mom is returning, Mila's starting school. I don't have to be a genius to know they won't need my help anymore. It's not as if there are an abundance of well-paying jobs out here in the sticks, and I have a ton of bills. School loans for a degree I didn't get. Bills from frivolous crap in college I couldn't afford. Some insufferably bad decisions. Too many mistakes to list, really. It's easy to forget those mistakes when I'm at Ethan's. Pretend I've got my shit together. Pretend I'm the upstanding adult my sister seems to think I am, despite the facts. Brady breaks into my pity party.
Watch out for my girl while I'm gone.
Of course. Good seeing you.
You too, Squirt.
He leans down to give me a hug, making sure to mess up my hair when he lets go. I've always wanted a big brother, and when Brady married my sister, I definitely got one. Especially when he nears the door and turns back at the last minute to say,
"Tell Ethan I said hi,"
in a saccharine, sweet, sing-songy voice. Jerking her dad to a stop, Izzy tells me, "Have fun kissing," and she smacks her lips together to make smooching sounds. Brady, Kat, and I look at each other, frozen, and Izzy shrugs.
What? Mr. Ethan's cute.
I hold up my hand, and she runs over to high-five me. With a pained groan, Brady clutches his chest.
That's what you guys get for talking about this,
I quip with an evil laugh.
As you often like to remind me, kids have big ears.
She's 7. She's not supposed to think boys are cute yet.
Brady turns his daughter toward him and musters the biggest frown I've ever seen.
Child, I want to remind you that there is to be no kissing until you're 30. Maybe 40.
Aw, Dad!
Izzy is just as boy crazy as I was at that age. Lord help Kat and Brady. I'm still snickering when my sister wiggles as much as her giant belly lets her and claps her hands.
I can't wait anymore. Let's talk about Ethan. I want all the details.
That's my cue to leave,
Brady says, taking his daughter's hand and heading out the door. He can act disinterested, but I know for a fact Kat tells him everything. They're the worst matchmakers I know. I can't feel embarrassed. Why bother? They've seen me at my lowest. Dating Ethan is awesome, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise. I already told Kat about the night we spent in his truck, and that there was plenty brewing between us. But I haven't told her about the recent developments and the spider from hell that dropped down onto my unsuspecting naked ass. So I fill her in on some of the juicy details. Nothing too graphic. Don't want to upset her delicate sensibilities. When I'm done, she smacks me in the shoulder. How could you not call me immediately and give me the scoop? It crossed my mind, but I wasn't ready to share it with anyone. I guess I wanted to see how things went, if he really meant what he said about us being official. A teeny part of me was afraid he'd wake up the next day and regret it, or that he'd want to backtrack, reel things in before they got too serious. Typical man reasons. Not that he's given me reasons to doubt him, but I worried the stress of his pending court date would affect how he'd view us. Like, maybe he'd see me as another kind of pressure. She nods knowingly and grabs my hand. You've dated some huge jerks, but Ethan is the real deal. When he says something, he means it. With a sniffle, she pulls me into a hug. I'm so sorry I wasn't there that day. I laugh and hug her back. That's okay. I'm pretty sure I prefer Ethan saving me from that shower spider than you. No offense. That's not what I mean. Oh, she means the first time I had a run-in with spiders. Lamely, I pat her shoulder. Wasn't your fault you couldn't be there. I hate that I missed out so much when you were little. I never thought much about it until recently, but it had to suck to not have Mom and Dad around like I did. And then Abuelita died, and I know she meant the world to you. At the mention of my grandmother, I tear up and decide we cannot continue talking about this. There's no need to make her feel worse when she was a kid herself at the time. Don't beat yourself up, Hermana. You're already my hero. Truly, she's everything I want to be when I grow up someday. Wanting to change the subject, I blurt out something that's been on my mind before we both need therapy for our childhood. Can we get back to Ethan? I can't believe I haven't asked her this before. What was he like with his wife? Did you know, Allison? She sits back and hums thoughtfully. Not well. They came over a couple of times when we had our farmer's fair, but she was always distant, even with him. Definitely with the children. She never struck me as being particularly maternal. Not that someone can't grow into the role of being a mom, but she always looked so irritated. Made me sad for Ethan and the kids. But when we'd invite them for dinner, he came by himself. And you could see he was trying to make her happy, but nothing seemed to please that woman. Twin vines of relief and jealousy sprout in me. Not that I wish Ethan or his children any pain, but it's hard to think of him with his wife. Though it's silly of me to want any of his firsts. He married her first, had kids with her first, lived his life with her first. Loved her first. My heart wallows in that thought. If there's any silver lining, it's that they didn't complement each other well. So, you weren't surprised they were getting a divorce? No way. I thought the writing was on the wall long before he told us she left him. Wait, what? Hold up. Hold the fuck up. She left him? Why was I thinking he had filed for divorce, especially after how she treated him? Are you sure she left him? Oh yeah, he tried to get her to reconsider for months. Maybe that's why it took so long to finalize the divorce. That shouldn't change anything. Shouldn't make me question what Ethan and I have developed. But my delicate heart doesn't like this revelation one bit. My sister must see the apprehension in my eyes because she shakes her head. Do not freak out about Allison. She's history. But since you asked, I wanted you to know that Ethan is the kind of guy who isn't going to jerk you around. Look at how hard he tried to make his horrible marriage work. Okay, she makes a good point. but something about the morning Allison found us in the truck niggles in the back of my mind. For a woman who seemed apathetic during her marriage, she sure lost her shit to see her ex had moved on. And that has me worried. My sister conks out on the couch in a puddle of drool as soon as I'm done with her pedicure, but I don't want to leave before she wakes up, so I cover her with a light blanket, do a load of her laundry, and fold a million adorable green and yellow infant outfits. She's such a wench to make me wait to find out the sex of her baby. I'm still folding clothes when two fuzzy arms wrap around my legs and I whirl around with a muffled scream. Bandit, you scared the shit out of me, I whisper yell. My sister's pet raccoon holds up his little arms like a toddler, even though he's ancient in raccoon years. You are so spoiled. I pick him up, settle in the rocking chair, and pat his fat butt while he snuggles against me. Have you been a good boy? I don't think you'll be allowed in the nursery once the baby arrives. Sighing, I'm all over everything my sister told me this morning about Allison, even though I know I should put it out of my mind. But how can I? I want to analyze it from every angle so I know what I'm getting myself into. Though it's not like I can backpedal. I'm already in too deep, which is all the more reason to guard myself against that woman. How could Allison leave Ethan and those two precious children? I want to throttle her on their behalf. Cat waddles into the doorway and smiles sleepily. Sorry I passed out, Manita. No worries, you're gestating. You need rest. Want some lunch? I'm starving. I don't point out that we ate not 2 hours ago. No, I should probably get going soon, but I'll be back tomorrow so we can shop for the nursery. Want me to make you a sandwich before I go? A huge smile lights her face. You're my favorite sister. I'm your only sister, I say, smiling at our familiar lines. 1 second she's laughing, and then she's hunched over in pain. What's wrong? I shoo Bandit off me and fly across the room. Just Braxton Hicks contractions. Nothing to worry about. I lead her over to the rocking chair and help her sit. What can I get you? Some water? A heating pad? Should I call Brady? Like a splash of cold water in my face, I feel like an idiot for not knowing more about her pregnancy. For not having researched all the potential problems or complications. She asked me to be close this summer for the baby, and all this time I've been obsessing over my own love life. With a grimace, she waves me off. No, no, don't bother him. He hasn't seen his parents all week. Let them have their time. My sister is the most selfless person I know. If she could have this baby in her bathroom without putting anyone out, she would. I'll text Brady just in case. He'd want me to. I also make a mental note to read up on the ins and outs of what my sister can expect during the last few weeks of her pregnancy. I stay with her for a bit, rubbing her back to make sure she's comfortable. Hey, speaking of parents, have you heard from ours? I ask, because I haven't in ages. I'd wanted to ask earlier today, but since we got emotional, I figured I should table the topic. I swear they call me every other day. They're so excited about this child. She laughs and rubs her belly that undulates under her floral muumuu. Oh, the baby is moving. Feel it. Grabbing my hand, she places it on her tummy, and I smile, even though I'm still bummed out about our parents. Sure, at the beginning of the summer, I was reluctant to talk to them because I was afraid I'd get the usual lecture about not screwing up a new job. But when they never called, I can't deny I was disappointed. Deep down, I get this is all residual psychological bullshit from my childhood. My parents took Cat, not me, and left South Texas for months at a time while they did their best to get whatever migrant farm jobs they could. It may be irrational, but every now and again I feel like the kid they forgot about. Granted, they eventually found permanent jobs in Corpus, and we were able to settle down, but that doesn't erase those early memories. When Mila cries on my shoulder at night, telling me she misses her mom, I get it. I so get it. They never call me, I tell my sister, feeling like an ass for bringing it up. I'm so bad at adulting. Sometimes life is like riding a bike with two shaky wheels that eventually fall off. It's only a matter of when, because if the past is any indication, my wheels always fall off. Seriously? She frowns. Nope, not since I moved to the ranch. That's weird. Are you sure? Why would I lie? I bite my nail, feeling like a petulant kid for not letting this go. I think they're still mad. They're not still mad. She tilts her head like she's reconsidering it. Well, they can't be that mad. I give her a look, the one that says, come on. It's bad enough that they were so embarrassed by me growing up, that they told everyone I had gotten a scholarship to St. Mary's, when we all know I could never swing those kind of grades. You didn't get a scholarship? Her look of confusion is almost funny. You know I sucked at school. Do you really think I had the scores for a scholarship? It was need-based, not for smarts. You got all those genes, Brainiac. She scoffs, insisting I'm smart, but she has to say that. She's a consoler. She wants to make me feel better. I finish biting my thumbnail. When she's done insisting I'm not a tontita, a stupid girl, I continue. When I failed out of UT, Dad was livid, reminding me of all the sacrifices they made for me, how I was ungrateful, how all I did was get in trouble, how they should have sent you the little bit of money they had and not me. She gasps and covers her mouth. They did not say that. Swear to God they did. Ask them. Oh, Tor. Big tears well in her eyes. No, don't cry. They were just mad. I know they love you so much, and you mean the world to me. Those tears hurtle over her lids and careen down her cheeks, and I sniffle, feeling like I want to sob right along with her. Love you too, kitty cat. We hug, and she pats my head like she did when we were young, and she'd pretend I was her life-sized doll. If it makes you feel any better, Tori, I'm proud of you. So proud of you. Of the way you regrouped after that jerk broke your heart last year. For the way you've worked your butt off on the ranch this summer. Babysitting kids is hard work, and not only do you do a great job taking care of them, those children adore you. And with the divorce, that's even more important. Her baby kicks us both, and we jerk apart, laughing. I think that's my hint that I should get going before we start crying again. I motion toward the door. But you're going to let me plan your baby shower, right? It's getting late in the game, but my family is strangely superstitious and doesn't want to jinx anything. I'm sure my mother has nearly burned down the church lighting candles for this child. Cat fidgets, tugging on her top. What do you mean, Didn't I do a great job with your bachelorette party? I rocked that shit like a badass. She rolls her eyes. I think my in-laws are still traumatized by those presents. Scoffing, I get up. You know that was an honest mistake. Anyway, who will ever forget that Christmas? Just think of all those special holiday memories. It really was a mistake. Totally not my fault. Tor, I don't think Nipple Nibbler's sex cream screams special holiday memories. You can use that as a lip gloss. Says right there on the package. I give her my sweetest smile. But you're going to let me plan the baby shower, right?
Chapter 36. Ethan. A lone sliver of light cuts through the darkness at the bottom of the closet door. I'm so tired. I might fall asleep if the kids don't find me soon, but I will my eyes to stay open.
Ready or not, here we come.
My daughter belts from the other room. Little feet go pounding down the hall, this way, then that, before Mila confers with her brother, who yells,
Daddy, we find Daddy.
I smile. My kids are so stinking cute. A minute later, when the closet door swings open, I jump out with a roar, and my kids scream bloody murder and attack me with hugs and tickles. With one child under each arm, I stomp into the living room, pretending to be a troll like that show they watch. Who dares to cross my bridge? They giggle and squirm and screech until Logan and Joey run in from the other room and stab me with swords made out of old paper towel tubes and duct tape. Not sure when this game became let's hop on Ethan and beat the crap out of him, but we end up in a body pile on the floor with Cody wrapped around my head like an octopus, Logan giving me a wedgie from hell, and my daughter jamming her finger up my nose. I give up! I'm laughing so hard my gut hurts. Suddenly, everyone stops and, like a family of meerkats, turns simultaneously toward the front door, where Tori stands staring at us with amusement.
Tori!
My children release me and careen across the room, where they smash into her and take her down to the floor. Oh, shit.
Oh, Tori, meet you,
Cody announces proudly as he sits on her. Oh, my little dude is telling her he missed her. The woman left yesterday evening, but by their welcome, you'd think she'd been gone a week. I trot over and help her up, so taken by her when our eyes connect, I almost forget we're not doing any PDA in front of the kids. When did it become so hard to keep myself from kissing her? Guys, be gentle. Tori's not your personal jungle gym. She's my personal jungle gym. Or maybe I'm hers. Doesn't really matter how you break it down. Once she's standing and dusted off, I give her a wink. How's your sister?
Pregnant and emotional, which makes me not pregnant, but emotional.
She leans back down to wipe something sticky off Cody's face. Funny how the thought of Tori being pregnant doesn't shoot terror through my bones. Always thought after Mila and Cody, I wouldn't want any more, but the idea of having babies with Tori makes me strangely open to the idea. If I can ever afford it, that is. Tori would make a fantastic mother. She's patient and kind. Loving and open-minded, tender but passionate. The idea of seeing her swollen with my child does something crazy to my heart. Take it easy. You just started dating.
Thanks for coming back to help us out. I'll make it up to you, I promise.
My children bounce around us like a pack of wolves raised them, and she gives me that secret smile. The one that promises late-night touches and out-of-this-world sex. Clearing my throat, I ask Joey and Logan to keep an eye on my tribe while I show Tori how the filing cabinet is organized in our office. Logan snorts.
Sure, bro. Show her around. Show her all the ins and outs back there.
Joey smacks him in the gut and smiles sweetly at me and Tori.
We got it covered. Take your time.
As soon as we're in the office, I pin her up against the closed door. Her hands are in my hair. Mine are on her curvy ass. Our mouths connect, and somewhere in the distance, fireworks go off. Missed you. I fist her hair and taste her neck, the curve of her shoulder, the sweet spot behind her ear. She smells like sunshine and flowers, sweet and sexy and warm.
Missed you too, so much.
I pull back so I can see her expression, and she gives me that breathtaking smile that makes me feel like a goddamn king. If my kids weren't awake in the other room, I groan, hating that I need to stop.
I know.
She heaves out a pained sigh as I put her down, but before I can drop my hands, she pushes up on her tiptoes and whispers against my lips.
But I'll let you tuck me in bed tonight.
Promises, promises. I smack her ass as I move past her. God, she's fun. With her around, I almost don't mind having to organize this pigsty.
Do you want me to add this to your federal tax folder, or do you have a separate place for your property tax bills?
I look up from my desk and study Tori, who's tied up her hair on top of her head with a number 2 pencil.
She's so sexy. I want to fuck her right now on my desk.
After a quick adjustment to my jeans, I motion for the bill. There should be a separate folder for this somewhere. Rubbing my chin, I smile sheepishly. Not sure where it is, though. Maybe check the second drawer?
I've been feeling stretched so thin lately. The office was the first to fall into disarray, because it's not like I can ignore my children, or the horses, or my employees. But having Tori here to help me get this under control has made such a huge difference. I feel a weight lifting off my shoulders.
Logan strolls in, drops onto the couch, and covers his face with his forearm.
Your kids exhaust me.
I ignore his whiny ass and continue paying bills. We've worked through the bulk of the mess. Tori rearranged the filing cabinet so it's easy to find the business bills versus the house bills. Eventually, the fatigue of working my butt off all damn week catches up to me, and I close my eyes, wishing I could sleep into next year. But as soon as the sun goes down, I need to get back out to the barn to finish up in there.
You guys ready for Friday?
Tori asks quietly as she walks behind me, pausing to massage my shoulders.
Jesus, that feels good.
Grunting, I let my head hang down while she works her magic. Would rather forget about Friday, and this back massage is the perfect way to do that.
I can't do this for long, she whispers in my ear. You have big muscles.
I smile to myself, feeling like a puffed-up peacock.
So, Logan, I have a question for you,
she says, still working over my shoulders.
Are you and Joey, you know?
This I have to see. I crack my eyes and swing my head to the side. My mother has always wanted those two to end up together. He's shaking his head, confusion written all over his face.
Just friends.
Tori snickers.
Like, just friends with bennies? Or just friends but you want a bang? Or just friends and you're both in denial?
I laugh, reaching back to scoop her into my lap. So many options.
Right? I've been trying to figure them out because Joey is really pretty. And she obviously cares about him, but I'm thinking he's in denial.
Like the river in Egypt. I'm right here, Logan points out, and I swear Joey and I are really and truly platonic. Nothing has ever happened between us. She's like a little sister. I would never corrupt her. I mean, we grew up together, so she knows what I'm like. Joey is kinda sheltered. I can understand my brother's reluctance on some level. He loves to play the field,
but he'd have to be ready to settle down to consider doing anything with Joey.
Maybe she wants to be corrupted.
Tori coughs.
Just saying.
No way, dude. Logan rubs the back of his neck. She might read too many romance novels, but she knows we're only buds. Tori makes this sound of disbelief.
So you're totally cool with her dating someone else? Her being corrupted by someone else?
The blood drains from Logan's face, and Tori's voice softens.
Maybe you should think about that before you dismiss her as someone you could be interested in.
She's right. One day Joey is going to wake up and stop trailing behind my brother. Tori gives Logan a sympathetic smile.
I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I think you're a good guy, but sometimes it's hard to appreciate something that's been staring you in the face for so long, and I don't want you to lose out on a great woman because you're worried it's complicated.
I love that she's a straight shooter. She's just expressed everything my family has always wondered about Joey and Logan's non-relationship relationship. He doesn't say anything, which is surprising since he always has something to say about everything. After a few quiet minutes, Tori twists in my lap.
Are you feeling good about court this week?
Groaning, I rest my head against her shoulder.
Not really, but there's not much I can do. We've already submitted all of the financial docs the judge requested, which is why the office looked like a tornado had blasted through here.
Gave me a heart attack trying to hunt down the tax returns while my brother pieced together our profit and loss statements for the year.
The thought of what might happen on Friday makes a cold sweat break out on my neck. I'm hoping for the best, for the judge to see we're maxed out already, for him to accept the verbal agreement I had with Allison before she decided she was out for blood. I glare at the giant file folder on the corner of my desk that has copies of everything we gave to our attorney, more than a little resentful I have to drag my family's private business through court because of my mistakes.
Can I ask a dumb question?
I'm learning that Tori never asks dumb questions. You can always ask me anything.
Do you guys ever compete in these?
She reaches into the trash and, like a magnifying glass straight to my heart, pulls out a flyer for the Triple Crown Futurity, which is the premier cutting horse competition that takes place each year in Fort Worth.
Nope. That's the easy answer. The other answer pains me too much to voice.
Logan stalks off the couch and snatches the flyer out of her hand. You'd think with the $4 million purse we'd consider it, right? You know that's divided up 100 ways for different events. One person doesn't win all that.
But one person could win a big chunk, bro.
Why don't y'all compete? I'm assuming your horses are at the top of their game, right?
She looks between me and my brother. I scratch the stubble on my chin.
Yeah, they're well trained. Some of our riders compete.
But you don't?
She asks. Now that she's redirected her attention from Logan's dating to my lackluster life goals, I'm not as eager to see where this goes. I stand, needing some space, and slide her off my lap. Logan answers in my silence.
He used to. That's how he's licensed to train cutters now, and Dad thought Ethan would compete after college.
That was the plan, at least.
Plans go to shit. Dad died. Allison got pregnant. We couldn't afford to send you to college.
I don't mean to bark at him, but I'm tired of revisiting these old wounds.
Don't take that on, too.
He argues.
I didn't want to go to college, not my scene. And to answer your question, Tori, if we want to stay competitive in this business, we should be entering the futurity.
A bitter laugh bursts out of me.
Yeah? With what time? I'm already busting my ass from dusk till dawn. Sure, we might win some money, but who's gonna pay for all that travel? For the number of cattle we need to increase the training? For the new trailer we'd need to haul our asses all the way to Fort Worth? For the entry fees? They're a goddamn fortune.
Why do you need more cattle?
Tori asks, propping herself on my desk like she owns the place, which, despite my irritation, I kinda like. I rub my face, wishing she hadn't brought up this topic, which only reminds me of all the ways I'm letting down my father. Fortunately, Logan answers again.
We use cattle from a neighboring ranch to train our horses, but to compete on a bigger scale, we'd need a larger lot of animals, because after a while, those cows get used to the horses and stop responding the way they will in the arena. They get sour and don't want to play.
She laughs and picks up the flyer again.
It's funny to think of cows playing.
I don't know if they enjoy it, I add with a chuckle. They just want to get away from the big bossy horse in front of them, but the horses are definitely playing. The good ones, the ones who have cutting in their blood, they're playing from the minute they enter the pen. You can feel it in the saddle and the way they move. They love it.
But the cows don't get hurt, right?
The look of concern on Tori makes me want to kiss her. No, honey, they don't get hurt. Cutting ain't like the shit you see at some rodeos. No one is tying down any animals. There's no steer wrestling or calf roping or shoot dogging. In fact, some of the horses we train are used to help injured cattle. Say you have an animal that gets hurt in the middle of a herd. How do you get her away from the others? A ranch hand can't wander in there, but a cutting horse can get the animal maneuvered away from the others quickly so she can see the vet. Competitions are just extensions of those same skills. Logan nods. All packed into the best 2.5 minutes of your life. Then you're not doing something right on your Saturday nights. I can't help but bust his balls. You, of all people, know there's at least one thing better than competing. I eye Tori appreciatively, in her cutoffs and tank top, and her eyes ignite under my perusal. And I sure as hell hope that takes longer than 2.5 minutes. He slaps me on the back with a hearty laugh.
Oh, I forgot what you were like when you had a sense of humor.
Fuck off, I'm plenty humorous.
Thanks to Tori.
Looking down at my work boots, I smile at his assessment, because he's right about that.
Chapter 37. Tori. Cold, soapy water runs down my arms in rivulets, the contrast to the sweat streaking along the back of my tank top making me shiver in the oppressive heat. What an odd sensation. The barn is stifling hot, even though the sun is starting to set. I don't know how Ethan does this day in and day out. I'd die from heat stroke. Since it's Sunday, none of his ranch hands are here, so the barn is still and serene, except for the occasional stomp or whinny from the animals residing in the stalls. Dust motes float lazily in the air, which is thick with the scent of hay and sawdust. Leaning up on my toes, I strain to reach the top of Stargazer, a handsome, dappled gray horse Ethan needed to groom this weekend.
You really didn't need to help me out here, Ethan says from the other side of the animal. You did enough this afternoon in the office.
When he explained he had to groom a few horses this evening so he could stay on schedule, the exhaustion in his eyes did me in. I couldn't let him do this by himself. Especially since Logan didn't look like he was going to budge from the couch in the living room where the kids were watching a movie. I don't mind. Honestly, I don't. Kind of wanted to keep you company. I lean up again and catch him smiling.
I love the company. Maybe tomorrow you can sleep in and I'll take the kids out for breakfast. We'll bring you some pancakes.
Ethan Carter is such a sweetheart. I catch myself sighing. It's funny how the moment I walked in his house this afternoon and he whisked me into the office for a quick makeout sesh, all of those reservations that crept into my mind about him and Allison this morning melted away. Whatever happened between them is the past, and we're here, together, now. That sounds wonderful, but when do you get to sleep in? Even as the words slip out, I already know the answer.
Never.
I want to laugh, to make a joke out of it, but I know he's telling the truth, and it hurts me to see how he's running himself ragged. We finish up with Stargazer, and then start on Tiny Dancer. There's nothing tiny about you, huh? I scratch the huge, butter-colored horse behind her ear, and she turns her head into me. I love these animals and their gentle strength. Her soulful eyes almost do me in. Ethan is quiet the whole time we work, and my heart is heavy with the thoughts of what will happen to his amazing ranch if the judge doesn't side with him and his brother. If I'm this concerned about it, Ethan must be sick with worry. Peeking over at him, I take in his tight shoulders and serious expression, the tension in his jaw, the furrow of his brow. He's in his own world, quiet and troubled. I wish there was something I could do to ease his burdens, to help him make sense of his life, to help him make the most of his business so he can repay Allison without gutting the ranch. He and Logan have discussed the possibility of selling off some of their land, selling Logan's house, or auctioning two of their stallions. But each of those prospects will affect their ability to maintain the income they so badly need. We're almost done with the last horse when he strips off his wet t-shirt. He doesn't notice me staring, or that I shiver for a reason totally unconnected to the cold water that splashes me as I scrub down Tiny Dancer. He's in his head, washing the horse, focused on his task. With two big strides, he heads to the giant sink in the corner and begins to clean up, rinsing out the sponges, scrubbing his hands, washing his face. Water and soap go everywhere, down his abs and low-slung jeans that fit him snug around the thighs and ass, making my girly parts tingle. He's hot and glistening with sweat, his face ruddy, his brow furrowed in concentration. I should leave him alone, let him work. But he's so incredibly beautiful, so utterly masculine, so intense with those taut muscles all strained with exertion. On a whim, I reach for the hose, spike the pressure, sneak across the stall, and call his name. Then I shoot him with the water.
What the?
He whirls around, his mouth open and shock in his eyes. At first, anger radiates off him, which only makes me redouble my efforts, accidentally spraying him in the face. Whoops.
That's it,
he sputters, a laugh bursting out of him. Thank God he's amused.
You're in trouble, little girl,
he yells, wiping his face with his one arm and chucking a huge sponge at me with the other. It lands with a wet plop across my thin white tank top and slides down. I gasp. It's fucking freezing. Goosebumps break out along my arms, my nipples pebble, and I shiver again. But I don't get a chance to retaliate because he snatches the hose out of my hands and shoves it down the front of my shirt.
That'll teach you,
he says in my ear, pressing my back to his chest. Oh my God! I squirm, fight, fling my arms, screech with laughter while the frigid water shoots down my shirt, through my shorts, and along my legs, puddling at my feet. The whole time he holds me to his hard body while I flail. Tiny Dancer glances back at us with a bored expression while I freak out and squeal.